This is Shudders Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 567 of Shudders
Inc. Thank you. It's good to be here.
Thank you. It is Bruce Williams from ShuddersIncPodcast.com, and that there is Mr. Glyn Lavender from CreativePhotoWorkshops.com.au. It's been a month, Mr. Lavender.
No, it hasn't.
Apparently it has.
You're full of s***.
I got a message from Carl last week going, when's the next podcast coming out? And I went, ooh.
Our listener is keen for the next episode.
There you go.
I think we're down to one. This is the only one who noticed.
Yeah.
The one who reached out. It's gone from single digits to a single.
So what have you been up to?
Maybe we could just rename it the Carl Hemmings Hour. Well, I don't. It doesn't feel like it's been that long, so I can't think. Nothing. Not sure. I've been in a walking challenge with a group of friends.
I know. I contributed.
I was getting there before you blew your own f-ing horn. Jesus.
And you're doing well.
Shut up. Let me freaking... Don't cut out this bit. This is the goal. This is the good bit. So my initial goal, because I wasn't sure how my health would hold up, was to walk 88 kilometres for the month.
Why? Hang on. Don't tell me. Is that a Back to the Future reference?
No.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't even a Chinese good luck thing.
Right, okay.
Well, so I figured.
Why 88?
It was 3 kilometres a day for every day and one day when I couldn't do anything. 31 days in the month. You know, it's 90. Well, it doesn't even really add up either, does it? Because that would be 90. Anyway, I have no idea. At the time, it seemed like a good idea. Well, everyone else in the group were doing like 50, right? So I thought that doesn't seem very much in a month. So I haven't walked 50 kilometres in a year, let alone in a month. Right. But either way, you know, so I set a challenge for 88, and we're walking for breast cancer research.
Sure.
And my wife and this group of our friends have done it every year for the last 5 years.
Okay.
And I've never done it. But this year I decided I want to get my stamina up for India. So what a good excuse to force myself to get out and get active every day. And it's my goal to keep walking every day up until I leave, which is now another 6 weeks away. So
sure.
well beyond the challenge for the month. But I thought it would be a good habit to get into. And so I set myself the challenge. And lo and behold, I've cracked the 88 kilometres. Tomorrow, the last day of the challenge, I should hit 253 kilometres.
Nice work,
which
mate.
Is the most I haven't walked 253 kilometres combined in my life, I think.
Yeah, right.
You know?
So you're averaging about 8 kilometres a day.
Yeah, 8 to 10 kilometres every day, yep.
Nice work.
Yeah. So, sometimes in one big burst, sometimes in two. Yeah, depending on how the energy. I've had one day where the heart went kaput and I couldn't walk at all. So I've had one day where I was in atrial fibrillation where the heart's out of sequence and top of the heart's beating 130 beats a minute and the bottom's beating about 40. So
it's
not a good. That was like that for the entire day. So that was not good. Jeez. So I managed 2,000 steps that day instead of the average 10 or 11,000. So it was.
Right.
But so I just had to take it easy. I couldn't take any chances. You know, my Apple Watch is screaming at me all the time. Do you realise? Yeah, of course I bloody realise. I can feel it. You know, but either way, even with that little hiccup.
What did your heart doctor have to say about this little conquest?
I didn't ask him.
Right.
Why would I do that? I'm male, for God's sake. You know? We don't ask for permission. We beg for forgiveness. I'm sorry, Doc. I didn't realise. But here's the thing. I haven't been going crazy, you know, and I've just been steady, you know, going.
I think for a guy who's been pretty much bedridden for the last 3 years, I think 8 kilometres a day does classify as crazy.
Well, here's a good thing. Up until yesterday, I've had no chest pains.
Well, that's
yesterday
great.
Yesterday I had a couple of twings, which are, is this it? Oh, no, it's not it. Is this it? No, that's not it. Yeah. And that sort of pinged from one side of the chest to the other. It was kind of a bit bizarre. But other than that, and hiccup with the heart going crazy with the heart rate, because my heart's medically reduced to 50 beats a minute. Yeah, I'm on medication to slow my heart rate down anyway. So when it's doing 130, that's like everyone else is doing like 180.
Yeah, right.
So so it's significant difference. Because it's pumping out of sequence, it increases massively your chance of stroke and stuff like that, because blood clots go to the brain and stuff like that. So it's a thing you've got to be a little bit careful of. So that's, of course, you wouldn't ask the doctor for help or assistance, or recommend. But I've been given mostly the all clear that, get out there. And so I did. Yeah. And I've been feeling pretty good. There's been days now where, like, I've already done a good walk, and then a couple of hours later, I really could go for another walk. I want to go out and exercise. So,
that's so good.
Yeah, so that's been feeling really good. And in 2 weeks' time, I'll keep going for another 2 weeks beyond the end of this challenge, which I might add, brilliant. And again, thank you for your incredibly generous donation, except for the smart ass comment. So as long as you're not walking in my direction, But I've raised $620 for breast cancer research.
Man, that's awesome.
I had $100 goal.
Yep.
And so not only have I walked significantly more, I've raised significantly more. So, I'm delighted with the people who've got behind me, and very appreciative. So I'm going to, for the next 2 or 3 weeks, I'll keep the same sort of effort up. And then I'm going to start wearing my backpack and cameras.
And start
sort of building up, trying to do the same stuff, but loaded with an extra 10 or 15 kilos. Because I was on my walk this morning. I was doing my morning walk. I dropped the kid at school. I'm going for this walk, and it's been bloody windy down here, mate. Bloody windy. Like, up to 150 kilometre an hour winds. All week. It's just been insane all week. I've come around the corner. I'm walking on this creek, and I've come along this corner, and there's houses on one side, then a little valley with this creek and lovely gum trees and stuff. Lovely area. And you see kangaroos and stuff like that. It's lovely. And I come around the corner, and there's this lady on her nature strip. She's got three massive tree branches down, 20 footers down. Not very thick, but long. It's a story of my life. No. And so I said, she was trying to get them off her driveway, and she was trying to put them on a nature strip. And I said, let me carry them down to the creek for you. So I grabbed the first one. It probably weighs, I don't know, 40 kilos. And I've dragged it down the valley and dumped it. And my heart's going, what are you doing? I can't breathe. I had to walk back up the hill to the road again. So I grabbed the next one and dump it over the edge again. And my heart's going, stop this. What the hell are you thinking? Then I went and did the last one. And then I had to turn back and walk back to the car. I couldn't walk any further because I couldn't breathe. Oh, my heart's doing like 140.
Jeez.
So under load, still has some work to do, I think. It's probably the...
Well, in all seriousness, I would say when you do start, carrying a load, maybe cut the distance back a touch. Just ease into it, don't you?
Well, I think I said just this the difference that you carrying those branches, just how quickly it destroyed me.
Yeah.
Which is very funny. So, well, not funny, I didn't fall over dead at least, but that was very obvious that I've still got a ways to go. But all things considered, I think I'm doing pretty darn good.
Mate, that's an awesome effort for the month, given where you've been in the last few years. So.
Yeah, I think so too, and pretty proud, and said, I think I've lost. I didn't weigh myself before I started, which is a bit disappointing. Oh. I feel like I've lost some weight, but I can't be sure. But either way, I'm feeling healthier slightly, not a lot, but it's like it's got 59 years of sloth to wear off.
Yeah.
So 4 weeks of walking is probably not going to just knock that off completely.
Absolutely.
It might take 5 weeks to fix it all. Probably still got another week's worth to do carrying those logs, but it's good. And I said I'll build up my stamina, so I'm good for India and relieve my poor wife's stresses. But yeah, so that, anyway, that's enough of our health talk, men's health talk.
So have you had any more photo workshops in the last month?
No, not since we last. I think we recorded a couple of days after my last one.
Oh, okay.
My next one's not until. Well, I did do a talk for the Australian Photographic Judges Association.
Right.
And you know how much I love judging and, competitive photography.
Yeah.
So it was the my photos are shit, I don't know why I bother talk. And it was for the annual general meeting of all the judges in Australia. It's like part of this association. Well, yeah, maybe I'm not probably the person to be talking to because your entire method of operating goes against everything I believe in. Yeah. But you pay me how much? Okay, well, I can do that. And I can squeeze you in. So I did a talk and they went down really well. I took out because I was doing it by Zoom, and so it was hard to do a 330-page presentation by Zoom. I was a bit worried that it might glitch a bit or people's screens wouldn't refresh as fast. Yeah. So I knocked it to 260 in the hour, knocked up a full 70, and I actually knocked out about 90 slides and added about another 30,
right?
Because some specifically having a go at judging.
Right.
and how the biggest complaint I hear at every camera club I ever talk to is the judges. As I said, the biggest problem is a judge goes to a camera club, judges a competition, says blah, 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 blah. You should be doing blah, 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 blah. So all the impressionable ones go out and do blah, 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 blah.
Yep.
And the next competition, a new judge comes in and they go, why did you do blah, 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 blah? You should have done blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And so they have no idea. So the consistency, and it's an individual perception, which is why people shouldn't take what a judge says with any great heart. Think of it as a suggestion. Think of it as an alternate maybe way of looking at things. But feel free to, even with your lack of knowledge, if you've only ever taken one photo in your life, feel free to completely reject everything that judge just said if it doesn't fit your narrative and what you thought and what you like about it.
Yeah.
I did a little bit on the try and put yourself in the position of the shooter and the story they're trying to tell, rather than the technical and the fixed narrative that you guys seem to have. Think about was this story told successfully, and if not, why not? As opposed to rules and you do this, you must do that, all the other technical stuff they worry about.
Yeah.
And that seemed to go down quite well, which was good.
Yeah, cool.
They accepted that reasonably so. So that was pretty good, yeah. And then I got approached by Horsham Camera Club a couple of days ago if I'd do another Zoom for them next week. It might be the week after. But I said, no, I'm going to drive up and do it in person because I hate the Zoom ones.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's only a three-hour drive. I get to do a lovely three-hour drive in the country, which is nice, and then turn around, drive 3 hours back through kangaroo-laden roads.
Yeah.
Which is somewhat of a concern, but yes, yeah, so I'm doing another talk, and they want me to do some judging of some photos. That'll go down well. That'll go down well terrifically. And I have been doing something else photographically.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know if I mentioned this before. Maybe I didn't. Maybe I have done a workshop since we last talked. I don't know. So I've started using Sony.
Oh, okay. But you've been using Sony on and off, like for the lens releases.
Yeah, but I actually use it, working on using them for my India trip, for the entire trip.
Wow.
Shooting Sony rather than Canon.
What's
and trying out
that?
Three new lenses. Well, mostly because Tamron has stopped making lenses for traditional SLR cameras.
Right.
So my usefulness to them going forward, I've already had to say no a few times to Tamron America. If they're wanting images shot with lenses that are on current cameras, and of course I can't because I haven't got
a current camera. Yeah.
I don't use those lenses. I use their older lenses, so that's a fair thing. And whilst I think about Tamron America, I must say I've just said yes to doing judging for their annual photo competition as well. Oh, I hate judging. Oh, okay, you pay how much? Okay, I can be available for that. I did it last year for Tamron Americas, and it was actually kind of a cool process because it was done with a whole bunch of other Tamron Pro members from America, other portrait guys, and just to see how much similarity we all had to what we thought and like.
Okay.
was kind of interesting. There was a lot of we all basically came to the same conclusion, on the, which photos we liked the most and which ones we didn't, out of, you know, the 100 submitted,
yep,
we all came up with roughly the same 6 or 8 photos.
Wow.
Which is out of hundreds, which is quite amazing. So, and it wasn't just based on, as I said, yeah, image quality or technical. It was on feel and vibe and, yeah, and all the good stuff. Yeah, so that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, so I started shooting with 3 new Tamron lenses.
Okay.
The 17-28 2.8.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
The 35-150 f2-2.8.
Nice.
And the 50-400 something to something.
Right. Gee, that'd be a good travel lens.
Well, I'm thinking, yeah, 35-150 on one camera and 50-400 on the other is pretty. When you're shooting stuff where there's some distance, like when we go to Varanasi, when we're on the boats shooting the pilgrims coming down to bathe, or the pilgrims on the sandbanks with their camels and the horses and stuff.
Yeah.
Sometimes you've got quite a bit of distance between you and them, so the 50-400 is going to be pretty darn good. Or if you want to kind of isolate just a couple of people rather than the masses,
yeah,
it's going to give you a lot of versatility to, you know, at 50 to get quite a big group and then zoom in on just a couple of the really interesting ones.
Yeah,
so right. I'm looking forward to just experimenting a bit with that. My normal shooting stuff, I have one camera would have my 15-30 on.
Yeah.
So that's going to have the 17-28. So it's fairly similar, not quite as wide, but about a quarter of the weight.
Yeah, right.
It doesn't have this massive curved front element that the 15-30 has.
Yeah.
So that's a significant weight difference on one side of the body. And then the 35-150 2.8 probably feels like my 70-200, which is what I'd normally carry around.
Yeah.
And I think the biggest thing I'm going to miss is the 200-2.8.
Right.
Whilst I've got 200 mil on the 50-400, it's not going to be 2.8.
Yeah.
And it's not going to have quite the same feel.
Yep.
Then having to change. And I know if I'm shooting portraits, I'm going to get frustrated at 150 and have to go up to the bigger lens. I can feel it now. I can feel it in my bones.
It's unfortunate there's so much overlap.
Between 50 and, yeah, because I'm thinking most people wouldn't normally have that as their range. They'd probably go the 35-150, 150-500.
Yeah.
Would be a logical,
yeah,
thing. But because travel, you kind of want to have as much flexibility as possible. 50-400 kind of gives you a lot more to work with quickly.
Yeah.
So therefore, it's a little bit more useful for me than a 150-500.
See, with those, if I wanted to knock it down to two lenses, I'd leave the middle one out. I'd go the 17 to 28.
Yeah.
And then the
50. Yeah. At 50-4, and absolutely, that would kind of make sense. But yeah, there's a lot of stuff with low light shooting. So the f2-2.8 is going to be a big plus. So yeah, so I completely get your thinking. And if I wasn't doing a lot of that sort of stuff, let's say I was doing an Africa trip, maybe that would replace the,
yeah,
I'd leave the 35-150 at home.
Yeah,
but yeah, I just think that's going to be. But it's very interesting. Yeah, it's a very different feel shooting with this stuff, and the vibe is quite different. But also, I am loving the eye focus, the eye lock-in focus.
It's great.
That's something I do struggle with a bit lately as I age. So I've done one. I did a workshop a couple of weeks ago with a natural light portrait. Used them for the first time. As with most workshops, I've got to do like 6 photos or something for the day. So it didn't really get a lot of practice with it. But
which body are you shooting with?
A7 III's is what they gave me.
Ah. That's what
for the moment. So what you got? Yeah. So I think they give me a 4 and a 3 to take away. I'm not sure. I'll see what arrives.
I love the 3. I really do.
Yeah. I mean, my only concern is, what, 7 years old or something now? You know,
it's 5. Came out in 19, I think.
I don't know.
Or was it 18? Might have been 18. Might be 6 years old.
Well, six is it? Which is getting on.
Yeah.
But, you know, it does everything you need it to do.
Exactly.
It's not a problem. It's still pretty expensive for amazing that it's still available, I guess. Because, I mean, remember, at one stage, Sony were changing models like every time you change your underwear, just about.
Yeah.
I remember when the A7 came out, then there was another A7, then there was another and another and another. It felt like in the first couple of years, there were like 7 versions of the A7 came out. It was fairly full on and a bit confusing.
There are rumours now that there will be an A7. 7.5 in the first quarter of next year.
Really?
So, yeah.
I mean, they've got the A7Rs, haven't they? They've got the A7Cs.
And then you've got the S series as well. So the S series tend to have a smaller sensor, still 35 mil, but with fewer megapixels, so you get better noise at low high ISOs.
Yeah.
And your R series is your resolution, so they have the more compact. Condensed sensor in them. So generally
got more megapixels.
42, instead of the 24 that the 3 has. And then the A7 IV is a 33 megapixel. And I think the R version of that is...
50 or something,
isn't it? I was going to say it's up around 50.
Crazy.
Yeah. So anyway.
I'd love an A9.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the sex on the stick, those things, But my mate Lisa in Alaska shoots with a couple of A9s and just seem quite amazing.
I
mean,
I say that, but I don't get mine out enough as it is, you know.
That's irrelevant, We're not talking about stuff you're paying for yourself, Bruce.
That's it.
You're talking about the hopeful that someone's going to throw a couple your way, you know. That way it doesn't matter if you take them out once a year, you know.
Yeah.
But I don't know. These things, I think they still show like 8 frames a second, the A7 IIIs or something, don't they? Yeah. Some crazy amount like that.
Yeah.
So, and I've been kind of liking the silent shutter, I must admit, too.
Oh, okay. I've never used that feature.
Yeah, I mean, you can understand when shooting travel stuff and you're trying to be a little bit more circumspect, not having the click-clack is a good a good feature, you know. They don't know when you're shooting, and that can be a good disarming feature.
Right.
Yeah. So you're shooting more unguarded moments because they don't know you're actually taking photos.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yep.
Whereas when they hear the clack-clack, they know they've got to put their photo face on or be, I'm being photographed now. And it does change things. It really does.
Right. Okay.
So I think that's a big benefit.
I can't remember what it is, but I know that there is some feature on the camera that doesn't work when you have the silent shutter. Is it rear curtain sync?
Yeah, it's definitely because the curtain on the electronic shutter is electric. It's not, but there's quite a few features I think actually that don't work when the silent shutter's on.
Okay,
I think it's also frame rate changes or bit depth changes on some of the. Like if you're doing continuous burst shooting, it changes from I think it's a 14 bit down to 12 or 12 down to 10, something like that. Yep. When you're using the electronic shutter rather than the traditional shutter, which is interesting.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's technical reasons why it happens, but it still seems a bit quirky.
Right.
Yeah. But at the end of the day, you know, I don't need 12 or 14 bits when shooting a person, you know. Bit depth is not a thing I've ever really concerned myself about.
Yeah.
I've never looked at a photo and go, oh, that could have done it with a bit more bit depth. That's a general rule.
Yeah, it's landscapes and architecture where the bit depth really comes to your aid.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah, and neither of the things am I going to do unless there's someone standing in front of it, you know? So that's been something different for me with the photos of the last couple of weeks, and so I've been watching YouTube videos on how to use the camera.
Nice.
But it's not about, obviously it's not about how to use the camera, but it's about, you know, where are all the bloody buttons on this thing?
Yeah.
I want to assign this button to do this thing for me, which, how do I do that kind of stuff?
Yep.
And I've got to say, the interesting with the 35 to 150 Tamron, it's got programmable buttons on the lens as well.
Right.
So you can assign features to the lens, or you can assign, let's say you want to do a pull focus between point A and point B.
Yeah.
You can preset that up.
Nice.
And lock it into that button, and just the tap of that button, and it does all the work for you.
Yeah, sweet.
So really interesting stuff if you're doing video stuff.
Yeah, I was going to say, that'd be coming real handy for video work.
Yeah, so it's just interesting how maybe lenses are going to, as more and more people use these for both, I know it's been people have been using them for years for both video and still, I get that, but the lenses are sort of starting to accommodate more the video feature side of things, not just traditional photo side of things. So, and we see that with the type of motors they put in, the focus motors and the for silence.
Yeah, exactly.
And smoothness and quietness is a factor that no still photographers ever cared about, but it has a big factor for video guys. So, interesting how lens manufacturers have adapted their gear to suit the changing needs. So.
Since 2005, Shutters Inc. has been a labour of love. But beyond the time required to produce it, there is also a financial commitment. If you find value in the podcast and would like to help keep the servers running, hit up the Patreon link, which is in the show notes. Even a couple of dollars a month will help. Much appreciated. Now, back to the podcast.
Yeah, that's on you. That's me. What have you done the last month? Have you done anything photographic?
Yeah, I got the camera out with the 150 to 500 on for the full moon on the 20th of August. Because bizarre.
Was it one of those just a moon in the sky by itself and that's all was in the photo? Or
absolutely, that was exactly it.
Okay.
Because I've never had, you know, that sort of pull before, you know, 500 mil, it's great.
Yeah, of course.
You know? Yeah. And it was probably the first time I've seen a full moon and not had clouds in the sky.
Whilst you've had a camera hand, yeah.
Exactly. So I was pretty happy with the image I got out of that. And then today I did another ABC portrait on white backdrop for one of our journos in Newcastle.
All right. How'd that go?
Yeah, really good. And I was pretty happy with myself. I set the tripod up with one flash to light the wall behind her and set that to just overexpose the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And then set the other light stand up with the softbox on it, went and grabbed her, got her in place, and looked at the controller on the top of my camera, yeah, because I've got the Yongnuo controller now, and I went, ooh, an eighth on the main light. Oh, I reckon we'd probably cook you. I might just back that down to a 16th. Took the first shot, absolutely perfect exposure.
Tish.
And great, you know, just a great look from her, and we ended up shooting two more images, and both of us just went, yeah, the first one was it. Pretty happy with that.
It's great when you start to dial in a place. You just know it. And the thing is, you can go now and do that absolutely anywhere in any office with a white wall and just go bang and you know your setup. And there's nothing hard. I'm interested. I'm looking at you. I'm assuming these are your behind the scenes, or this is what you shot and then you cropped.
The one that's got 01 in the file name is the touched up version of that first image. The other three are straight out of the camera.
So is that your framing with the walls and all the other stuff in the shot?
Yes.
Why?
Because I know I'm going to crop it to a square.
But why?
Because I know I am.
Yeah, but why, Bruce?
Why what?
Why aren't you shooting it properly to start with?
Oh, as in, you're saying why don't I shoot it in a portrait orientation?
And why the walls and windows and other shit in the photo?
Just because.
And no hands.
Well, it didn't need hands because it's only.
I know, but.
It's only a head and shoulder shot. I always prefer to have a little more than I need in the frame. It's
a little more.
It's easier to crop in than it is to make
it. You could have had 10 people in this shot. Well, at least six. Let's say four.
Two at least.
My reason for asking is multifold.
Right.
The lens you. What lens is this shot with?
28-75 2.8.
Okay.
At 75.
Okay. I just think her face would look better.
Mm.
Better 100, 120, and a bit tighter.
Right.
Her face shape would be a little more pleasing.
Okay.
So your focal length has a different sort of, it makes an impact on face depth and face size.
Certainly wide angle stuff does, but really.
Absolutely, 1,000%. Okay. And shooting 75 that far away versus 75 close would be very different too.
Okay.
If you filled the frame with her at 75, I think you'd see a noticeably different shot.
Okay.
Feel-wise. I don't know. I guess it's only for web anyway. It's okay. But it just, I don't know. I think you're also asking a lot of, I guess you're zooming in the preview before you show her. You're not showing her that shot.
Yeah, I zoom in and show her ahead.
You can't expect her to visualize the shot without the wall and the windows. And the other.
Sure.
I don't know. It just, it's fine. This is killing me, Bruce. It's fine. Yeah. The dust my head in. That it's just, you just didn't frame it.
I very rarely shoot in a portrait orientation, even when I'm shooting a portrait.
Well, you can still shoot that as a horizontal.
Right.
Just freaking closer.
Okay.
Can I make another suggestion?
Yeah, I'm sure
you will. For next time, of course, even if you say no, put her Let's say 8 inches. That's 8 actual inches, not 8 man inches. 8 inches further camera right.
Well,
and consequently, bring the lights 8 inches further right.
Why?
Okay, because then you'll be getting a little bit more kickback from that reflector.
Yep.
And that projector screen,
yep.
And it'll give you a little bit nicer fill on the opposite side of a cheek.
Oh, okay.
It'll give it a little bit more of a highlight, just a little bit more of a kick.
Okay.
And that kick will give it a little bit more a face, a little bit more shape.
Right.
So it'll carve out her jawline and her cheek line a little bit more with light.
Yep.
You can see it on your shot.
Yeah.
Where that kiss of light is. It's almost like a bracket. Yeah, it's got this little little curved crescent moon, yep. Let's call it. That would have just been emphasized just a little bit more.
Yep.
And it would just kicked a little bit more depth, a little bit more vibrance to the shot, just by having a little bit more bounce back off the wall.
Okay. The challenge here is that in between where I'm standing and where she's standing, there's a doorway.
And
that big grey slab you see on the right-hand side is the door.
I don't see a big grey slab on the right-hand side. I see a projector screen or something.
The projector screen is the thin white strip that you can see.
No, not a thin white strip. It's huge. It's like, I can see like 4 foot of projector screen.
Okay. So, no, you are looking at the reflector.
The photos you sent.
Yeah, but the... Are you looking at the first image at 6,500?
Oh, I can't see the numbers. I can just see you've sent me through.
Okay.
Oh, I see the last one, but there's some grey thing.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Let me look at the other ones. Oh, I see what you're saying.
See what it is? I've got 4 foot of projector screen. I'm seeing.
I see what you're saying. Right.
See what I'm saying? So if you could move first, if you look at the very first one, I don't know what it's got. Yeah, no, see, number.
This is
on.
What I was saying about the way Skype handles attachments. They don't come through in order.
Yeah. But the first one where she's got, well, she hasn't got a mouth open smile. She's got the mouth closed. Smile.
That's right. Yeah, that was the second frame we shot.
So if she could, if you move her,
yep.
8 inches to her right, to our right.
I get it. Yep.
You can move in, bring the lights in. That kick would come in. You go, oh my god, just elevate. It's a few percentage points, but it'll give you that extra kick.
Yep.
Becomes a two light studio shot instead of a one light studio shot, and for her face shape. I think it would have added just a little bit more dimension. But look, as I said, first shot, bang, job done, brilliant stuff. Yeah. And so, but we always want to improve. And how can we improve? Well, frame the thing properly, move it closer to the wall.
Yeah, but that's what I was trying to get at, was that doorway limits my ability to move to the right.
Yeah, but it looks like there's plenty of space. And if you actually, I don't know, frame it properly.
Yeah, there's plenty of space for her, but there's not for me because I'd end up shooting into the door frame. That's what I'm saying. Like, I can't step to the right.
You're so far back in your framing. If you shot vertically.
Right.
And moved in, you'd be fine.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
The reason why the door's in the way is because you're 400 feet away from her. There's a bus going past in between. There's a street in between.
Okay, so that door is hinged on the right-hand side, right? So the only way to get it out of the way is to close it. That means I've got to be in the room with her.
Yeah.
And that then puts me only a metre away from her.
Yeah, perfect then.
With a 75 mil? I don't think
so. Yeah, because then you're framing her properly. Lovely.
I get 3/4 of a head in the shot.
No, it'd be perfect. Get back that to 65 if you had to.
Okay. I will bear that in mind for the next time.
Just try it. You've got to be. The other thing, whilst we're thinking about it, she's a. How can we apply it? She's a busty girl.
Yep.
I would have considered as a test shot
of
having her body facing away from the light and her face looking back a bit. That would have minimized her chest.
Right. So get her to turn.
Yeah. So instead of her body is facing the light, your softbox, basically. If you had it facing away, it would have been a little bit more shade, a little bit darker.
Gotcha.
It would have darkened down the top. It would have minimized, black is slimming, as they say. The darker tone would have minimized her bust.
Yep.
And again, good, she's wearing a fairly dark top, but if that had been a lighter top, it would kind of dominate the face because there's a large expanse of light.
Yep.
Lighter area.
Yep.
But I think, just you see, look at her left shoulders. It's quite a little bit darker on that side.
Yeah.
I just think, I don't know, I think if, if they're slightly larger people, maybe you don't want to light them quite as much.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
Yep.
Yeah. But you know what's the most important?
What?
She's happy.
Yeah, she was.
That's all that matters.
Yep.
Yeah, but we're critical of ourselves, so of we want to be better. But I'm wrapped. You know, I'm a bastard with this stuff, but I'm wrapped with how well you're doing with it.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think you should be bloody pleased with yourself. Just be better.
Yeah. I love having an excuse to get the camera out. You know,
it's great, isn't it?
It's great. You know, I will confess that sometimes I'm a bit lazy with getting out and going and shooting something because I can't think of what to go and shoot.
Of course.
So then when something like this comes along where there's an actual need, someone needs an image shot, it's like, yeah, I'm happy to do that, you know? So.
Of course. No, it's great. As you said, it's the having to try and think of something to do.
Yeah.
Is debilitating sometimes.
Yeah.
I did take my camera out with the 35 to 150 out for a walk the other day.
Yeah.
Me and the Trouble and Strife were going for a walk. I was trying out a new strap, so I wanted to see what that was like. And so I took that out. And then I found, you know how much I love photographing nothing but people.
Yep.
Yeah, but I'm photographing, all sorts of weirds. I'm photographing geese. I'm photographing, little ball things hanging off a tree. I'm photographing a bit of light on a bit of bark, you know. Yeah. It's amazing how when you have your camera in hand, you're walking around, amazing the stuff you just start taking photos of randomly.
Absolutely.
Of course, all garbage and all good for nothing, but it's all kind of funny. All right, what else have we got to talk about, Don? Anything exciting?
I found a video the other day and I sent it to you.
You did?
I didn't expect.
Didn't watch it.
I didn't expect that you would get into the technical aspects of a lot of what was in there. I didn't watch it at all. I really enjoyed it. The guy made the claim at the beginning
No surprise to anyone who's ever listened to this podcast.
Made the claim at the beginning of the video that this is the only YouTube video.
Yeah.
Straight
away he's lying to you, Bruce.
Yeah.
There's millions of videos on YouTube. Yeah, I'm telling you right now. I've watched most of it. And so
he made the claim that this was more than likely the only content.
Just gone from this is the only video to more than likely. Yeah. He's backpedaling pretty quickly.
More than likely the only content ever shot for YouTube on film. Like, so it was specifically shot to be put on YouTube. And
Romaine X Caesar did an entire film clip for YouTube shot with out-of-date 16mm film.
Okay. He did then clarify that there were short films and things like that that people had shot on film and then released to YouTube. But he was saying, like, the idea of content specifically for YouTube that wasn't going to be published somewhere else, that was shot on film. Anyway, it was...
That Romaine was only for YouTube because there's no other platform to show.
Right.
Anyway.
Anyway, it was really good, and there was some very clever stuff in what he was doing in the video because he compared 35mm and 16mm by doing a split screen. He had both cameras set up side by side on two tripods. So one's shooting 35mm film, one's shooting 16mm film, and then in post, they've married them up. So you've got this split screen down the middle. And, oh my God, the difference between 35mm and 16mm, it was like chalk and cheese.
Huge.
Yeah. It made the 16mm look like it was filmed on a potato. It was just just terrible. In comparison,
I remember going to see the film Joker.
Yep.
Remember Joker? Yep.
With Joaquin Phoenix?
Whack him. At a theatre that was showing it on 35mm film.
Nice.
And stunningly rich and beautiful.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Then watching the same thing digitally, beautiful.
Yep.
Not stunningly rich.
Yeah.
There was a palpable difference between the two.
Yeah.
There was a visceral feeling difference between the two.
I was so disappointed when Oppenheimer came out. I really wanted to go to Sydney and watch a 70mm print, and Kath wouldn't be in it. And I was like, when are we ever going to get another chance to watch 70mm film, you know? It would have been amazing.
There's a video here called The First YouTuber Apology Made with 8mm Film. Right. There's a lot of just looking at film stuff on YouTube. There's a lot there, Bruce. He hasn't done his research. So, problem is, I would have watched the first minute of that video, gone to check, realised that he's full of it, not watched any more because he's lost me already. You know?
Yeah,
I do get what he's saying. That's pretty funny.
And something that I didn't realise.
Yes.
Later on in the film, he's talking about. Then you go up to 65mm film. Mm-hmm. And he's got all these cardboard cutouts that show the aspect ratio, and he's talking about what they call 2-perf and 3-perf, and it's all about 2-perf aspect ratio means that it covers 2 perforation holes on the film.
Yeah.
And 3-perf covers 3 perforation holes. And then he said, but then you've got 70mm. And he goes, and I know what you're thinking. How do you get 70mm on 65mm film? And he said, well, IMAX doesn't roll the film vertically, it rolls it horizontally. Rolls it
horizontally.
Which I didn't realise that. I thought it used film stock that was 70mm, but it's not. It's 65mm film stock, and it's shot with the,
the frame, But that's it. How do you squeeze, what do you squeeze onto a frame, you know? Is it no different than how panorama cameras shot, even the disposable panorama cameras? Remember those? These disposable 35mm cameras.
Yeah.
We used to be able to have disposable panorama ones.
Oh, okay.
And they'd shoot like twice the width of a normal 35mm onto the front of the film and have this long panorama, you know?
Gotcha.
But, yeah, then that's when you have half frame that shoot 2 frames into the space of. There's lots of different ways of doing it, you know? It's,
that was very interesting. I really enjoyed it. It was a very informative video.
Oh, good on you, mate. Yeah. I'm glad you watched the only ever content filmed.
Anyway, we've got a couple of quick messages to read out. One from Carl.
Who said, for the Carl Hemmings Hour.
Hello, and special hello to Mr. G, who I caught up with his presentation of my photos of shit and why I bother.
We did. We did catch up a few weeks ago.
So was that at the judging talk?
No, that was a Zoom one. That was at Coldstream. Right. This is a place in country, slightly just outside of urban Melbourne.
Right.
A place called Coldstream, and he came up to say g'day, which was lovely of him.
Is that in the Yarra Valley?
It is.
Yeah, I thought so, because it's wineries.
It's the gateway to the Yarra Valley. Any place that's called the gateway to something doesn't have anything of its own to hold on to.
There you go.
That it becomes the... It has no redeeming value of its own. It's simply the last place you go to before the good stuff starts.
He said, we've only met in real life twice over these past 10 years. The other time was at Camera House Elizabeth Street, which is no longer there.
That's bullshit.
Feels like we're old pals.
It was Michael's camera, Michael's in Elizabeth Street. So he was close.
Okay.
But no Cesar.
Glyn was in fine form that night. I enjoyed it. After the presentation.
Was it Ted's? It could have been Ted's. No, it was Michael's.
We've moved on, Glyn. After the presentation, we all gathered in the little kitchen for tea and biscuits where most of the women huddled together. I had to break my chat with him so the ladies of the camera club could at least have a conversation with him. Just some notes on last week's podcast about just having a simple menu on the camera body for settings you use the most. All my old Nikons from D40, D300S and D700 had a My Menu where you added your most used menu items to it. Surely Canon and Sony have similar. Well, the A7 III certainly does. I would imagine the A7 IV does as well.
I don't want a My Menu. I want to delete everything off the other menus.
Right.
I want the other menus to be the way I want them. Right. I don't want my own menu on a separate tab and still know all those ones exist.
Yeah.
It does my CDO in, Bruce. I know they're there. It still bothered me.
The My Menu feature that is found in select Nikon DSLR cameras allows you to quickly jump to your frequently used settings. You can select up to 20 items for inclusion in your My Menu list, including shooting, playback, setup, custom settings, and retouch menu items. In the custom settings, you can set up the camera so that when you press the function button, you're brought straight to the My Menu for faster access. So there you go.
I still know they're there.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I have to delete them. I want to delete them all off these Sony cameras. This one tab alone's got 14 screens.
Yeah.
I want to delete 9 or 10. Just knowing they're there, Bruce, does my head in.
Yeah. And that is why I have customized all of the buttons to be the things that I want to use all the time. And what I do like about the Sonys is, I assume other manufacturers do this, is that they allow you to put different functions on the same button depending on whether you're shooting stills or shooting video. So some buttons I have the same things assigned regardless of whether it's photo or video, but then there are other things where if it's still, I want this button to do this, but if it's video, I want it to do that. So, yeah.
Huh.
Which I, yeah, I use that a lot.
I still want them all gone.
And then finally we had an email from Philip Johnson who gave us a link to a camera that was used at the Democratic National Convention, and it's
at the DNC.
Yeah, it's a 110-year-old panoramic camera. We were just talking about those, right. And everyone at the DNC had to stand really still because apparently, obviously, shot very slow shutter speed.
Oh, I don't think you'd be able to tell the guy in the back row if he was moving or not. Is that the photo, the one that's in the... It's not even the panorama. Oh,
they needed 22 seconds to complete the exposure.
Just play the national anthem. They'll stand still a whole of heart for that. Jose, can that's you right. see? And you do that for 22 seconds, you got them.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool, though, isn't it? Yeah.
That is.
But do you know why he did it?
No.
Because he could.
Okay, fair enough.
Oh, yeah, here's another good bit, though. Ella Emhoff, the stepdaughter of Democratic presidential candidate Kamala Harris, snapped the convention on a disposable Kodak camera.
Right.
So she was going around with a disposable, which you were also just talking about. So
yeah.
It's all come, the whole podcast has come together seamlessly at the end, Bruce.
Full circle.
Oh, God.
Oh, we love it.
Yeah. No, we might. Not sure anyone else does.
Anyway, I will put the link in the show notes if anyone would like to check that out. So
check it out.
And I think that's us done.
Oh, thank goodness for that, says every listener.
So you got anything planned for the weekend?
No.
Okay.
We're having a friends over for dinner tomorrow afternoon, but they've called in sick.
Oh.
There goes the entire week. I've been going out CD shopping with my eldest lately, going to op shops. He's hunting. He's got an obsession with CDs, so we might go hunt up some CDs in op shops.
Okay. You know,
pay a dollar a piece for crud.
Right.
But everything, nothing he hasn't got on his streaming platforms already. We're now not only are we spending money for him to be streaming, we're now going to spend money for him to buy stuff that he can get for nothing. Oh, he's all fun and games. And yourself, anything planned? Anything exciting?
No, nothing planned for this weekend. Bit of housework, but that's about it.
So. I saw young Max was in town.
He was. He was home last weekend. He just had
lovely for you, mate.
Yeah, it was so good to see him. He flew down on the Thursday. Kath and I worked the Thursday, but then we both took Friday and Monday off so we could have three and a half days with him because he flew back on Monday morning.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was so good to have him home. It was just great.
And he's doing well?
He is. And he's found himself a girlfriend up there, and they're quite serious. And
in Darwin?
Yeah.
Is she a Darwin girl?
Yeah. Her parents live out at a place called Berry Springs, which is south of Darwin.
Yeah, about 1,000 kilometres south of Darwin.
No.
The nearest neighbours are 300 miles away.
Yeah, it's that kind of thing. But no, they're lovely, lovely people. Met nice. Mum, haven't met Dad, but...
Salt of the... Would we call them salt of the earth, Bruce?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Enough said.
he's enjoying life and, yeah, having a great time.
Trump supporters, I'm assuming.
Why?
Oh, well, yeah, salt of the earth, Bruce.
No, I don't think so.
All good. Oh, good on him. He's happy. That's the most important thing, isn't it? Yeah,
absolutely.
All we want, happy and healthy. That's all we want our kids to be.
That's it.
Rich would be nice too.
Yes.
If they could feed it back to us.
Totally.
2 out of 3 ain't bad.
That's it.
All good. Okay, mate.
All right, mate. Will you look after yourself?
I'll talk to you in another indeterminate period of time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
See ya.
Bye, everyone.
You've been listening to Shutters Inc. For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@shuttersincpodcast.com.